The following is based on a true story. Johnson Production Group.
What I'd like to say is that all of us experience trouble in our lives. I think that we only have to take a good look at our own lives and the lives of others to realize that bad things happen. I think if I could talk to each one of you, that you could tell me of things that have happened in your family. Somebody that's died, or some disease, or maybe a divorce. Many things. And even if we aren't having troubles at the present time, I think we can all agree that we will face trouble at some point in our lives. But what do we do? Like, what resources do we have to deal with the troubles of our lives? And how do we come through it when even the most ardent faith is challenged?
May 1980. Title, The Abduction of Mary Stauffer.
It's hard to put into words what your support means to Mary and myself.
In a church.
It's been our calling to bring joy to all of you. To get to know you. To learn from you. And to share the word of God. And now we're being called again. And although we'll be away for some time, this will always be our home. Now, before we offer a final prayer, I know that Mary would like to say a few words, too.
The red-haired woman in her late 30s, wearing glasses, steps up to the podium.
Thank you, Irv.
He remains, standing next to Mary.
The Philippines is halfway around the world. People of a different culture, different ethnicity, but people who speak a same language, the Word of God. And Irv and myself and our two children, Beth and Stephen, will carry that with us. Our strength to follow our calling on this missionary trip comes not just from the Lord, but from all of you.
Outside.
But we will miss you.
Write to us. Of course. We'll be counting on your letters, too, Anne.
A man wearing glasses asks,
Are you really going to go through with this, Mrs. Stauffer?
Mary, look who came to see us.
Oh, I'm sorry, just 1 minute. Hi.
The man stands inside the church, glowering down at Mary as she greets another family. Later, in their yellow 70s rancher, the family sits down for dinner.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this meal and for everything that you've given us. We pray for strength and guidance as we share your love with new friends and faces. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to move away. I won't have any friends there.
I know it's going to be hard at first, but you'll make new friends and your old friends will be here when we get back.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
No.
Beth pulls on her ears and sticks her tongue out at her brother.
Hey,
Bethy. Beth, stop. And eat.
I'm not hungry.
Red-haired Beth leaves the table.
Okay.
Later, Irv tucks her in.
Hey. If I was 8 years old, I wouldn't understand either. But this missionary trip is important. We do this to help others in need. It's an experience you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
He leans over, kissing her on the head.
Good night. I love you, Bethy.
I love you, too.
Turning out the light, Irv leaves the room.
On the day it happened, I remember thinking what a beautiful day it was. How good it felt to be outside.
Kids play on the driveway.
How that warm breeze felt like the summer had finally arrived.
Bethy, let's go.
Mary pays a hairdresser.
You sure do have a pretty new haircut to take with you.
Thank you.
Mary, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Taking Beth by the hand, Mary leads her to the parking lot.
You're so shiny.
Thanks.
Nearby, a man pulls out a gun.
Trevor's coming over with Aunt Sarah tonight for dinner. Will you help me cook?
You walk into your car.
Excuse me?
Get into your car.
What?
Get it now, this side.
Okay.
Mary opens the passenger side. They all pile in.
Come on, baby.
Behind the wheel. Drive.
Mary fumbles to find her keys.
Quickly.
Okay.
I said drive!
Mary starts up the late 70s green LTD with Minnesota plates. Backing up, she drives out of the parking lot and onto the street.
Please don't point the gun at her. I'll do whatever you want.
Go this way for a while.
Why are you doing this?
You know why, Mary?
I don't know you.
Don't say that! If you say it again, I will kill you both.
They drive through a residential neighborhood to a wooded area.
Over there. Drive as far back as you can go.
Okay.
She pulls onto a dirt road leading into the forest.
Okay, stop. Give me the keys. Give me the keys.
Holding his gun, the man takes Mary's keys and gets out of the car, looking around.
Get out.
Just do what he says. It's gonna be okay.
Mary puts her hands on Beth's shoulders as they are led to the back of the car.
If you run, I will shoot you.
Okay.
The man, wearing glasses with short black hair, opens the trunk.
Get in.
No, please.
Get in.
Mary okay. helps Beth into the trunk.
It's okay, baby.
Then follows.
Come on.
Okay.
On a trail above the car, a pair of boys riding bikes stop. Putting down his bike, one of them approaches.
Hey, car break down, mister?
He spots Mary and Beth in the trunk.
Oh, no, we're good.
The man grabs the boy, tossing him in the trunk as well. The other boy on the ridge above drops his bike and runs away. The man slams the trunk closed.
Mommy!
The man glances at the two bikes before jumping in the driver's seat of the car.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm here. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm scared. I want to go home.
The man accelerates out of the area. Mary turns to the young boy beside her.
What's your name?
Jason.
Okay, Jason. My name is Marion, and this is my daughter, Beth. You're not alone. None of us are alone. Okay? We're all gonna pray right now, okay?
The Ford speeds down a deserted, single-lane rural road. Elsewhere, a panicked woman calls out,
Jason!
Police swarm the area where the little boy was taken.
Jason!
A man asks the other little boy,
Do you remember the color of the car, Maddie?
Green.
Was it a big car?
Kind of. It was long. I think it had a white top.
Elsewhere, near another wooded area, the man parks the green Ford. Getting out, he opens the trunk, grabbing young Jason lying next to Mary.
Oh,
no!
No! Don't hurt him! Don't hurt him!
The trunk is slammed shut.
Mommy!
Mary turns to her daughter.
It's okay. I'm here. I'm here. We're together.
The man returns to the driver's seat and speeds away. Back at home, Irv is in the Stauffer's kitchen, cutting vegetables. His son Steven plays with army figurines at the kitchen island as Irv checks his watch. Irv opens the side door to a blonde woman with a little boy.
Hey, sis.
Hey.
They hug.
Sorry we're late.
It's fine. Mary and Beth aren't here yet.
Steven waves.
Hi, Aunt Sarah.
Hey, bugaboo. Trevor, you want to go show Steven what you brought to play with?
Sarah places a grocery bag on the island.
Sure, she still has a lot to get done before you leave.
I know. We leave in 2 weeks.
Have you found a renter?
No, not yet. We're still trying to get our stuff in storage.
Hard to believe it's already time for you to go.
I know.
I really admire what you're doing, but I sure wish you weren't going.
You know Mary. Once she gets her mind made up about something.
Meanwhile, the kidnapper pulls the LTD up to the shoulder of the road, where a white van sits parked on the other side. Getting out, he opens the trunk.
Please, we need water.
No, get out. Come on.
Pointing his gun, he urges.
Hurry.
Mary helps Beth out of the trunk.
To the van.
Mary's eyes dart around as she leads Beth to the back door of the Econoline.
Get in.
They climb inside, followed by the man, who slams the door shut. Later, it's dark as the van pulls up to a white house. The curtains are drawn and there's a chain-link fence surrounding it. Now blindfolded, Mary and Beth are led up a ramp to the side entrance of the house.
This way?
Entering, they're in a kitchen of the house. Turning on the light, the man pushes Mary and Beth down a dark hallway.
Hey, keep going. It's okay. It's okay.
He opens the door to an empty room.
All right, let's go.
Turning on the light.
All right.
He removes their blindfolds.
It's okay. I'm here. See, we're together.
The man cuts tape around their wrists.
She's terrified. Please, just tell me what you want.
A smile creeps across the man's sweaty face.
Please.
He opens a padlock on a latch on the closet door. Inside lies a blanket, bucket, and a pillow.
No, please.
Get in the closet.
Mommy, I want to go home.
No.
Get into the closet!
I want to go home, Mommy.
Pulling his gun from his waistband, the man forces them inside, closing the door and securing the padlock. He promptly leaves, closing the bedroom door.
It's okay.
Inside the closet, Mary lights up a bedside lamp.
Why did he take us here?
I don't know.
She cradles Beth in her arms. Meanwhile, at home, Irv sits at the dinner table with his sister, Sarah, and the kids.
You don't have to wait.
It's fine.
Where's Mommy?
Oh, she'll be home soon.
Boys, if you finish your dinner, you can go and play in Steven's room if you like.
The boys smile as they leave the table.
Mary's never a minute late for anything.
I know.
Ramsey County Sheriff's Department, how can I assist you?
Hi, my name is Irv Stauffer. My wife and daughter are missing. They should have been home hours ago, but I haven't heard from them.
Your wife and daughter?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to believe they're in any danger?
Not specifically, no. It's just, my wife is very punctual. We're leaving the country soon, and it's just not like her.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Arden Hill. I'm just worried about a car accident, something like that.
Dispatch has no report of any car accidents in that area.
Can I leave my number?
Sir, our entire department is focused on a little boy who was abducted this afternoon.
Abducted?
I'm sure your wife and daughter are on their way home. There's been a lot of police activity in that area causing traffic delays, okay?
Please call back if you don't hear anything from them soon.
She would have found a way to call.
I'll be right there.
Hello?
Irv hangs up the phone. Meanwhile, in the closet, Mary dabs a cloth on Beth's sweaty face when the door opens. The man stands over them, pointing at Mary.
Just you.
Mommy.
Let go of your mother, Beth.
It's okay. You're safe in here. I'll be back, I promise.
No!
The man slams the door shut as Beth lies back down, clutching her arms to her chest. In the living room, the man sits opposite Mary, bound to a chair. A video camera sits on a tripod.
What is your name?
Mary Stauffer.
How old are you, Mary?
A lamp illuminates Mary's face.
I'm 39.
Do you know why you're here? It's okay. I want you to be honest.
I don't know why I'm here.
We're going to discuss that. I'm going to ask you some questions. You're going to answer correctly. Okay?
Okay.
What is my name?
I don't know.
Yes, you do!
I'm sorry. You're going to have to help me. How did we meet? Was it long ago?
Yes.
Ming Sen Shu. Think back 15 years.
I was a ninth grade teacher. You were in my class?
Yes.
You gave me a very low grade, Mrs. Stauffer. I was denied a scholarship because of that grade.
This is about a grade I gave you 15 years ago?
I tried to talk to you about it, but you wouldn't listen to me.
I wasn't one of your favorites. You didn't give your favorites grades like that. I was the outcast. I was the one they made fun of with the funny name. Why are you going away?
What?
Irv is taking you away to the Philippines. It's all you've been talking about at church over the last several weeks. Why are you going with him?
Because he's my husband and I love him. And our faith demands that we help the unfortunate in this world.
Except me, right?
I'm sorry that I didn't help you.
I want to believe that.
Meng, this can't be about a grade or that people made fun of you.
Why did you take me?
We're done talking now.
Ming shuts off the video camera and turns out the lamp before returning Mary to the closet.
Mommy!
I'm okay.
As Mary hugs Beth, Ming locks the padlock.
I'm okay. He didn't hurt me.
I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I want Daddy.
I know, but we can't. We've got to stay here for a while.
No!
Beth.
I want to go home.
Standing, Beth reaches for the door.
Listen, I know, okay? I want to go home too, but we can't, okay? And right now, I need you to be a lot older than you are, okay? I need you to be strong. Look, we have each other, and we have God, okay? And that's all we need. That's all we need to get through this, okay? But I can't do this without you, Beth. I can't. I can't be strong if you aren't. Can you be strong for me?
Yes.
Okay.
They hug.
What we need to do now is pray.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Later at the sheriff's office.
Ramsey County Sheriff's Department, how may I assist you?
Yes, this is Irv Stauffer again. I think I spoke to you earlier. My wife and daughter are still not home.
Wife's name?
Mary Stauffer.
Our daughter's name is Beth. She's 8 years old.
Is there any circumstance where your wife may have taken your daughter against her will?
No, I told you nothing like that. We're leaving the country soon, and she was supposed to be home hours ago for dinner with family.
And where were they last seen?
Carmen's Beauty Salon in Roseville.
And what kind of car were they driving?
It's a Ford, an LTD. It's green.
It's got a white vinyl top.
Mr. Stauffer, can you hold for a moment?
Yes.
Wyatt?
Yeah?
I've got a man who's called twice about his wife and daughter not coming home. They were last seen about a mile from where the boy was abducted.
Yeah?
The wife was driving a green Ford LTD with a white top.
At home, Irv watches the evening news featuring the search for young Jason. Irv opens the front door.
Mr. Stauffer, I'm Sergeant Rayburn. This is Deputy Knowles. Yeah.
Come in.
Thanks.
They enter the living room.
This is my sister, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Stauffer, do you or your wife know Jason Welkman?
No, we just saw that on the news. No, I don't recognize him or his family.
Did your wife and daughter have any reason to be in Hazelnut Park after they left the salon?
No.
Isn't that where the boy was abducted?
There was an eyewitness who saw a man throw Jason in the trunk of a green Ford LTD. Only about a mile from where you said your wife and daughter were last seen. Happened about 3:45.
Oh, my God.
The boy's friend said the man appeared to panic. He thinks that Jason saw something in the trunk of the car that he shouldn't have. That's why he was taken.
You think Mary and Beth were in the trunk?
We can't know that for sure, but we do think that somehow this is all connected.
Oh.
Irv stoops over, resting on the coffee table as Sarah tearfully puts her hands on his shoulders. Meanwhile, still locked in the closet in Ming's house, Mary rests her hand on Beth, who lies on her side.
Mommy, I have to go to the bathroom.
Rising to her feet, Mary slaps her hand on the closet door.
Ming! We have to go to the bathroom! Ming!
Ming stands at the door, his shirt unbuttoned.
There's a bucket.
If you intend on keeping us in here, at least have the decency that it doesn't include our own filth.
Tell her to stop crying.
Okay, she will. Bethy, baby, calm down. He's gonna let us use the bathroom, okay? See?
Ming leads them out of the bedroom as they move down the hall.
Quickly. I'll be standing right here.
They close the door. Beth stands by as Mary begins looking through the vanity drawers, then rips at a sheet of burlap covering the window. The window has been boarded up from the outside and there are metal bars on it, secured with a padlock. Looking defeated, Mary replaces the window covering.
Quiet, sweetie.
Beth pulls the toilet seat down and prepares to sit as Mary looks around the bathroom. Later, they both sit at the tiny kitchen table with Ming, who has served up TV dinners. Ming scoops food off the aluminum tray as Beth and Mary sit, looking glumly down at their food.
You said you were hungry.
Beth takes a tiny bite of her mashed potatoes while Mary sits still. Getting up, Ming opens a cupboard under the sink. He pulls out two lengths of chain, each covered in plastic with a clip on either end.
Stand up.
He loops one around Mary's waist, the other one around Beth. He then chains them together with a padlock.
I won't hurt you as long as you don't try and escape. When I know I can trust you, you'll be rewarded.
No,
if you try to leave,
no.
I will kill you.
No.
If you somehow manage to get away, I will kill Irv and Steven. I know where you live.
A stunned look comes across Mary's face as Ming throws his dinner away.
Now sit down and finish your food.
How long have you been watching me?
I thought of everything. No one will find you.
As Ming leaves the room, Mary looks grim as she puts a hand on Beth's shoulder. Text reads, 7 days.
Ming, would it be okay if I called my family?
So you could tell them where you are?
I don't know where I am. I want to call my husband and son and tell them that I'm not hurt. I know they're worried.
I can't let you do that.
Well then, can you let Beth go be with her father? She's just a little girl, and she's frightened. And I don't think this has anything to do with her. I think this is about me, that you wanted me, and it doesn't have anything to do with Beth.
You're a very perceptive woman.
You want me to be honest, right? You want to know that you can trust me.
Yes. I'm tired of people who lie to me. Everyone lies to me.
So, I think we understand each other a little better, right? We can both be honest with each other.
Okay.
You're in love with me.
Yes, you already knew that.
If you love me, why would you want to hurt me? Having my hands tied down hurts me. Keeping me in a closet hurts me. Frightening my daughter hurts me.
No, I want you to be happy. I can't let you go so far away from me. I can't let that happen.
Ming,
Let us go home. It's the only way not to hurt me.
Grabbing a cutter tool.
Don't ask me that again.
Ming frees Mary's wrists.
You don't understand what I feel.
You're hurting me. Oh. Ming, you're hurting me.
In the closet, Beth idly fingers the clip attached to the chain around her waist. Pushing Mary to the floor, he grabs both of their chains.
Please don't lock us together. If we're in here, there's no...
Ming stands in the doorway.
I don't care.
Slamming the door shut.
You okay?
Yeah.
Mary straightens Beth's red ponytails.
Listen.
They both place an ear on the back wall of the closet. Outside, in the sunshine, a father helps his daughter ride a bike.
But do you know what this means?
What?
It means we're not in the middle of nowhere. There are people around us. When the time's right, they're gonna hear us.
Beth hugs her mom.
There are a lot of people looking for us. God will show them the way.
Mary holds Beth close.
That's my favorite.
In church, the congregation sings with Irv and a choir.
Thank you. That's Beth's favorite. I'm sure wherever they are, they heard it too. Now, I know a lot of you have questions. We don't know any more than many of you have seen on the TV or read in the papers. But something I can tell you, as many of you are well aware, Mary's the strongest person I know. She will protect Bethy. And I'm sure God is overwhelmed with their prayers.
A full congregation looks up from the pews.
But I'm still asking for more. Not just for Beth and Mary, but for the boy Jason, who was also abducted. And I have this to say to the man who took them. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Sarah will be handing out flyers that we'd like to keep posting throughout the area. If I could just get a show of hands for any volunteers who would be willing to help us out today.
Almost everyone raises their hands. Elsewhere at night, Ming sits at a table soldering electronics as the news plays on TV.
Our top story tonight, the search continues for a missing mother and her daughter. Last seen leaving this hair salon before being abducted Friday afternoon. Police cannot confirm but do believe the missing mother and daughter is related to the missing boy, Jason Wilkman. Anyone with any information is asked to call their local police who are continuing to search the area. We'll go back to you in the studio.
Later, Mary sits at the kitchen table as Ming places some paper in front of her.
Write your husband a letter.
What?
Tell him you've had second thoughts about going to the Philippines and you need some time to think. Tell him you and Beth are okay and you'll be home soon, but nothing has happened to you. You just need some time to be alone. You'll understand.
Ming sits down at the table, holding out a pen.
I will read every word.
Reluctantly, Mary takes the pen. Meanwhile, at the Stauffer house, a police car sits parked in the driveway outside. Sarah and her husband enter the kitchen from outside, holding posters. Irv stands poised over the table.
Hey. We covered a lot of areas. Put the rest up tomorrow.
Thanks.
Whatever we can do to help.
Thank you, Will.
I'll be in the car.
Okay. How's Steven?
doesn't really understand.
I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can stay here if you like.
No, no, no. It's fine. I'm tired. I'm gonna go to bed.
Irv, whatever that boy saw in the trunk, it doesn't mean it was them.
I know. But if it wasn't them, then where are they?
Blonde-haired Sarah gives Irv a hug.
I love you, big brother.
Thanks.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
She opens the door.
Thanks.
Irv closes it. Later, he tucks Steven in.
Are Mommy and Beth lost?
Yes.
How come?
Remember when we went camping last year and we couldn't find the right road back? That's all it is. They'll find it.
I want Mommy to read me a story.
Well, what was wrong with the way I read you the story?
Steven shrugs tearfully.
It's time to sleep.
Will they find the right road back by the time I wake up?
I hope so, kiddo. Good night.
Kissing Steven's forehead, Irv shuts off the desk lamp, leaving the room. Elsewhere, locked in the closet at Ming's house, Mary lies with her eyes closed next to Beth.
I can't sleep.
When I was a little girl, I was alone in my room, supposed to be asleep. I used to pretend that my bed was a boat. I used to set sail. Pretty soon, my whole room was an ocean.
Even when it was dark?
Especially when it was dark. When it's dark, that's when God surrounds you. He lets your imagination take you anywhere you want to go.
Can I pretend that this is my room and this is my bed?
Just close your eyes. Feel God's presence. Now open them slowly. Where are we?
In the closet.
Okay, well, in your heart, where do you want to be?
I want to be in my room. I want to sleep in my own bed. And Dad, you just gave me a kiss goodnight.
Sounds wonderful. Can I sleep in your room tonight?
Okay.
Ming appears at the door. Kneeling down, he pulls out his keys and unlocks the chains holding Mary and Beth together.
No, no, no. Please, please.
Beth clutches her mom.
It's all right.
Please don't take my mommy. Please.
Beth.
It's all right. I know you don't like being here. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to let you and your mommy go home. As long as your mommy does what she's told.
You're gonna let us go?
As long as your mommy does what I ask. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I'll be back. I'll be back.
Beth lies on the floor as Ming closes the door. Ming follows Mary as he pushes her up some stairs. At the top of the stairs, a bedroom door is open. The video camera, mounted on its tripod, is aimed at the bed.
No, 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 no.
I won't hurt
you.
Pushing her inside, Ming closes the door. Text reads, 14 days.
For some reason, I thought of the shows on TV at the time. Particularly the ones where people get themselves out of trouble. The girls in Charlie's Angels always had a resource to call upon. I didn't have any secret weapons in my pocket. Yet I had something else. I had God. God didn't help me escape, but he gave me three things that I want to share with you. First, he gave me peace. Somehow, in the midst of total fear, I had strength. That could only be for one reason. Peace with God. And through that and my love for Beth, I knew I could endure anything to help keep her safe.
In the bathroom.
You made us a promise.
I know. I bought you a dress. I'd like you to wear it.
Mary takes it, seething.
I'll clean your other clothes. Put them outside the door.
He leaves Mary with Beth in the bathroom. Beth sits on the toilet as Mary begins to change into the dress. Elsewhere, it is daytime as Irv walks out to his mailbox, holding his morning coffee. Deputy Knowles stands by her police car parked in the driveway. He begins to sort through the mail as he walks towards the house. Holding a letter, he freezes in his tracks.
What is it?
Deputy Knowles, also holding a coffee cup, approaches.
It's from Mary.
Later, in an interview room at the police station, Irv shows the letter to Sergeant Rayburn, who reads it wearing gloves.
She would never write that. I know nobody believes that their wife is unhappy, but she wasn't having second thoughts about leaving. If she did, she would have told me.
You're certain about that?
She's my wife. We have a very honest relationship. I guarantee you that she was forced to write this.
Irv, this is Sheriff Decker.
Reverend Stauffer, nice to meet you in person.
Thank you.
You too.
I don't think we're going to find any prints on this letter either. He's clever. The letter itself was postmarked 40 miles north, which doesn't exactly narrow our search.
Well, at least we know he's still in the state, right?
Well, at least when it was sent, anyways.
If Mary was forced to write this, and Irv, I believe you, then he thinks this will make us and you back off. Would suggest he hasn't harmed them.
Hasn't harmed them. He's held them against their will.
Yes, but the point I'm trying to make is that they're alive. And that's better than what we feared up until this letter arrived.
Elsewhere, Ming drives his white van, parking behind a nondescript brown building. Opening the back door, he enters a computer repair shop, greeting a man standing next to a cash register. Ming places his briefcase on the counter. Three other men sit at workstations nearby.
Good morning.
Hey, Ming.
Morning, Robert.
Wondering if you could take a look at something for me.
Yeah, sure.
I can't get the motherboard to identify with the main circuit controls. Everything's powered.
How much RAM are you using?
8K.
These processors can't handle more than 4K. Hopefully we'll get the 8088s from IBM this year.
They've been promising that forever.
They're coming. And when they do, these won't just be office machines anymore.
Ming spots a framed photo on Robert's desk. In the photo, Robert holds his arm around a woman.
How's your family?
They're great. Anne says hi, asks if you want to come over for dinner this weekend.
I appreciate it. But I have a family obligation.
Okay. Soon then.
Yeah, sure.
Later, Ming arrives home, entering into the kitchen, carrying a bag of groceries and clothes in a dry cleaner's bag.
Mary? Beth? I'm home.
In the closet, Mary and Beth sit up.
I went to the grocery store.
Moving his tools from the small table in the dining room, Ming spreads a white, lacy tablecloth over it. He then drags chairs from the kitchen and sets them next to the table. Taking white dishes and cutlery from the kitchen, he puts out three place settings, each with a white napkin. Moving to the bedroom closet, he pulls out his keys and opens it.
Hungry?
Wearing her new red polka dot dress, Mary stands with Beth in the kitchen as he pulls out items from his grocery bag. She spots the dry cleaner slip on the counter.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
With Ming distracted searching the fridge, Mary quickly grabs the slip, tucking it under her dress and into her bra. Turning from the refrigerator, Ming presents a birthday cake.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you.
Blow out the candles.
Pulling her long red tresses away from her face, Mary blows.
What did you wish for?
It's my wish.
Smiling, Ming takes Mary's hand.
Oh, and Beth, I know it's not your birthday, but I didn't want you to feel left out.
Standing up, Ming pulls out a box hidden beside the china cabinet.
All the kids have them.
He hands it across the table to Beth.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You can play with it at the table. I don't mind.
Beth pulls out an electronic game and turns it on. Looking up at Ming, Mary allows a small smile. Later, in the living room, Ming interviews Mary for his camera.
Did you have a nice birthday?
I appreciated the cake.
You're not being honest.
You're holding me and my daughter against our will. I've had better birthdays.
You'll learn to like it here. I promise I'll make it nice.
You've made other promises. I did what you asked, and you still haven't let us go.
No, you didn't do what I asked. You didn't make love to me. I was making love to you, but it wasn't reciprocated.
That wasn't making love. That was rape.
Don't say that. I didn't rape you. It's just that you weren't making love to me the way I wanted you to.
Because I can't. I love my husband. I won't betray him.
Do you want to die?
No.
Do you want your daughter to die?
No.
Then you'll make love to me the way you did to your husband. The sounds you made, the things you said to him, the way you called him by his full name, Irving.
How do you know that?
Yeah, that's how you'll do it with
me. How do you know how my husband and I make love?
You'll say my name.
Were you watching me inside of my house?
You'll say my name.
How dare you? You violated me before you ever laid your hands on me.
Don't say that.
You raped me before you took me into your bedroom.
Stop saying that!
Kicking over his stool, Ming grabs some clear plastic.
Have you ever watched someone die of suffocation? Huh? Have you, Mary?
Ming pulls the plastic over his head, tightening it around his throat.
Doesn't take very long, Mary. You'll see.
But, Ming!
Clutching the plastic, Ming strides towards the closet.
Ming!
Ming! Come off me! Ming!
Ming grabs Beth.
Your
Ming!
Mommy won't do what she's told.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll just...
Pulling Beth out of Ming's clutch as Mary puts her arms around her.
Okay.
Ming pushes Beth back into the closet.
Mama! 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 Mom!
Ming pulls Mary away to his bedroom. Back at home in his basement, it is nighttime as Irv folds laundry. Irv glances towards the sound, walking over to a white-framed, rectangular window above the house's concrete foundation. He finds it held partially open. Looking at the floor below, he spots some footprints. Crouching down lower, he takes a closer look at the dirt tracked in from outside. Later, he shows the prints to Sergeant Rayburn.
So I found this.
And then I saw this.
Using his flashlight, Irv illuminates a small hole drilled in the ceiling.
It's your bedroom up there?
Yeah. I check the holes directly underneath the bed. That doesn't make sense. It's not even big enough to see anything.
Maybe this guy's into electronics. As listening devices.
Chances are he's been stalking you elsewhere. You have a list of parishioners from your church?
Partial, the donor list.
Does Mary have any old yearbooks from the school where she used to teach? Could be an old student.
I'll look.
Deputy Knowles, come in.
Go for Knowles.
We found the car abandoned 20 miles north.
Mary and Beth?
The car was empty. There are other tire tracks next to it. Looks like he switched vehicles.
Thanks. I'll go check the other windows.
Elsewhere, lying next to her mum in the closet, Beth caresses her shoulder.
Why was he so mad?
He's not mad anymore. I did what he asked. Don't be frightened.
Is he gonna let us go home now?
Soon. We have to keep pretending. I know you're scared, Bethy, but I won't ever let him hurt you. Don't be afraid, okay? I will never let him hurt you.
Is it still your birthday?
I think it is.
I'm glad he let you come back in the closet. I wouldn't want you alone with him on your birthday.
You're so strong. I love you so much.
I love you too.
Facing away while fighting back tears, Mary clutches her daughter's hand. 24 days.
The second resource I had was hope. It wasn't the hope that we would get out of the closet, or that we would be able to escape, or that we would survive. It wasn't that kind of hope. It was somehow an assurance that no matter what happened, God would care for us. Now, if you were to ask me, did you feel God's presence? No. Despite our prayers, I didn't feel God's presence. But that is when faith is tested. And without faith, there would have been no hope.
Help! Help! We're inside the house! Help!
Honey, honey, honey. Honey, we don't want to make him mad, remember? You gotta be quiet.
There were kids. I could hear them. I could hear them. They're close.
Oh, sweetie. Sweetie, they're not gonna be able to hear us in here. Not unless they have their ear to the wall. Okay, look. I want to show you something, okay, but it has to be our secret.
But you said secrets are bad.
Well, secrets between family and loved ones or friends, yes, but not from me.
Mary produces the dry cleaner slip.
This is where we are. This is the address to this house. Okay, I need you to memorize this so that if you ever get away, you can tell Daddy and the police where I am, okay?
Okay.
Okay, memorize it. And then we have to destroy this so that he doesn't know.
Later, in the dining room.
My life has been tough, you know?
You said people teased you.
Are you interested or are you just saying that?
Oh, I want to hear it.
We never had any money, so I didn't have things other kids had. My father died when I was young. I had to take care of the family. It was up to me. I was in the army, too. Sometimes my platoon guys would say, "Hey, Ming, you look like a gook. We might accidentally shoot you."
That's terrible. It's not fair for anybody to be treated that way.
You're the reason I'm alive.
Me?
Ming takes off his glasses.
When you're in a dark hole, saying, "Why should I live? What is my purpose in living?" you have to come up with something. But you pulled me through. Otherwise, I don't think I would have survived. So I broke into your house. I listened to you in the dark. Sometimes even your breath gave me comfort, knowing that you were close.
How do we resolve this? How can we ease your burden?
Having a family. People who care.
You could have that too.
Who would want me? I feel like there's something personal between us. You've affected me. Killing is not something I really... And that would hurt your daughter. Hurting her is not something that I want to do. This is between you and me. Do you understand?
Yes.
But I don't need an excuse. I have that streak in me. The kind of thing you can't control.
Look, Beth really misses her father and brother. You could let her go. Just drop her off somewhere. She doesn't know where we are. She wouldn't be able to tell anyone.
I'll pick up some new food for dinner. Is there anything else I can get you? Something that would make you more comfortable?
I would like a Bible.
At the police station, Sergeant Rayburn chats with a detective when Irv walks in carrying some books.
Found two more yearbooks.
Anyone in her class that you recognize?
No, it was 15 years ago. There was something else, though. I spoke to my parents. Remember, I told you they had a break-in a few years ago?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't remember until now, but I spoke to my mother this morning. And she said that when the man was in the house, when he saw my mother and father come downstairs, he said something really odd. He said that she was the wrong Mrs. Stauffer.
She had a description?
No, it was dark, but she said she thought he was Asian.
Okay. Let's narrow our search.
The sergeant sits at his desk with Irv. Meanwhile, her face slick with sweat, Mary sits in the closet with Beth, who plays with her electronic game. Leaning over, she picks up a glass near the door. It's empty. They both look up at their captor. Ming holds out a holy Bible with red binding. Taking it, Mary's face softens.
Thank you.
Ming then holds out Mary's glasses. She smiles gratefully.
Oh, it's so hot in here. We can't breathe. Can we please come out?
Later. I need to pick things up.
Ming shuts the door. Smiling, Mary looks at her daughter, then puts on her glasses. Opening the Bible, she begins to read.
2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3.
Jesus tells us that we will have troubles in this world. It's a guarantee. He also promises us victory in our faith. But faith isn't always easy. If it was, it would be worth nothing. So we carry on, as Mary is, drawing strength from her faith. And we must do the same, all of us. They need to hear our prayers. I know what verse she might be thinking at this moment. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort.
So that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
A man enters Ming's kitchen. Mary looks up from her Bible. She looks over at Beth, who shrugs.
Why is he back so soon?
The man, who is not Ming, makes himself a ham and cheese sandwich. He puts it on a plate. Grabbing his keys, he makes for the door. The man pauses at the door, then looks over his shoulder before moving down the hall towards the bedroom. In the closet, Mary puts a finger to her lips.
Shh.
The man walks in the hallway just opposite the bedroom. He stands still for a few moments before heading for the side door once again. Back in the closet,
he could have let us go out for a while. Mama, we've been good.
I know, baby. Right now, I'm finding more strength in here with you and this than out there with him.
Wow.
Why would he go play music in the basement? Unless...
Unless what?
Someone else lives here.
Mary begins pounding on the floor. Below, in a basement suite, the man sits in a chair with a beer and his sandwich on a small coffee table. He sits back and bites into his sandwich. Upstairs.
Help!
A look of helplessness fills Mary's face. Text, 31 days.
There were times where I thought I couldn't bear it any longer. No air, no light. But the third resource that I told you about that I had was love. It's impossible to quantify the love a mother has for her child. And so through love, our limit of endurance was longer than either of us would have thought. When people ask, how could you stand it? I answer that I couldn't. But I didn't know that at the time because my only purpose was my love for Beth. We had each other, and she was the reason that I had any strength at all.
Sometime later, wearing only a tank top style undershirt, Ming eats hungrily while Mary and Beth sit at the small table set up in the dining room.
Are you keeping someone else in the basement?
Beth?
In the basement? Oh. No. That's my cousin Brian. He rents the apartment downstairs. He's been away traveling for a couple weeks. I put extra padding on the floor in your closet so that he can't hear you, even if you were stomping on the floor. Is that what you did?
Yes.
Thank you for being honest.
Beth eats her sandwich while Ming heads to the kitchen for a jug of water from the fridge. Returning, Ming pours some water in Beth's glass.
Beth, would you like to go camping?
Outside?
More like a camper kind of thing.
I love campers.
I've been invited to attend a conference in Chicago. I would like to attend, but I obviously can't leave you both here alone. I've rented an RV. We could all go.
You want to take us to Chicago?
Yes. But I need to ask you, what would you do if someone saw you in the RV and I wasn't there?
I would tell them that we're being held against our will.
Yeah, I bet you would. I know you would.
No, she won't. She won't make you mad. Will you, Mommy?
Is that a promise? Beth, if I gave you a pencil and some paper, could you make a list of the things we'll need?
I have a better idea. Why don't you drop Beth and I off at home, and you can go to Chicago without having to worry if we're going to tell anyone?
Stop it. Stop making him mad. He'll hurt Daddy and Steven.
She's right, Mary. You should listen to Beth. She's the rational one here.
Stop.
Mary glares fiercely at Ming before turning to her daughter.
Make the list.
Later, in the living room, under the harsh light of a lamp, Ming videotapes his interview with Mary once again.
Why did you push me like that at dinner tonight? It's like you wanted to make me mad. Did you?
No. But I told you that I would be honest with you. That was an honest answer.
Even if it makes me mad?
My intention is not to make you mad, because I don't want you to hurt anyone. You're a smart man, Ming. You know when I'm lying. Why do you want to go to this conference?
It's a job fair for companies like mine. I own a company that sells and repairs electronic equipment.
Kind of equipment you used to spy on me and my husband?
See? A question like that is not being honest. It's meant to antagonize me.
I'm angry that you spied on me.
You've been getting more and more angry lately. I think you're letting this get to you. I want to sell my company. Move to a bigger city.
You intend on taking us with you when you move?
Of course.
Like I said on the first day, I want to help you. I really want to help you.
You're that kind of person, aren't you? You like to help people.
So let me.
You can afford the luxury of optimism. You have all your religion for that.
I do, but not because I'm perfect, because I'm imperfect. I have sinned many times.
You haven't done the things I've done.
Well, I don't think God has a scale of sins.
What gives you the right to have God on your side?
Because he said, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I've done that.
He's never cared about me before.
Yes, he has.
So he controls your life.
No, I'm saying that he's allowed this to happen for some reason, and part of that reason, I've already learned that I've seen a part of me that isn't so good.
What's that?
I didn't meet all of the needs of my students.
Why didn't God think of that 15 years ago?
The kitchen door opens. Ming's cousin Brian enters. Standing up, Ming leans over Mary.
If you make a sound, I will shoot Beth. I will do it.
His gun tucked in his waistband behind his back, Ming stands in the doorway to the kitchen.
Hey, what's with the RV?
None of your business.
None of your business. Why'd you open some windows, man? Get some light in here, you freak.
No, I like it this way. And stop raiding my fridge.
What's going into you?
Nothing. Just get out. In fact, start looking for a new place to rent. You can't live in the basement anymore.
Why?
Because I need it.
Need it for what?
Just get the hell out of my house and stay out. Find a new place to live.
Pushing Brian out, Ming slams the door shut. Later, Ming returns Mary to the closet, clipping her chain belt to Beth's.
Is that your cousin?
He won't be bothering us anymore.
Ming slams the closet door shut. Sometime later, now in the hallway outside the bedroom, Ming unlocks the chains around Beth and Mary's waists.
When we go outside, you will not make a noise. Right?
We understand.
Let's go.
Under cover of night, Ming leads Beth and Mary across his yard to the side of his rented RV. He opens the door.
Get in.
After Beth and Mary step inside, Ming follows, closing the door. Moments later, sitting in the driver's seat, he starts the engine. Ming slowly pulls out of his driveway. Later, white lines on the highway flash past as Ming drives in sullen silence. He glances up at the rearview mirror, keeping an eye on Mary and Beth, sitting chained together in the camper compartment behind him. Mary pulls on two thick metal cables attached to them, which are in turn looped through a heavy metal bracket bolted to the floor of the RV. Ming drives on through the dark night. Sometime later, Ming has pulled the RV near a gas station. Inside, they all sleep on a pull-out mattress, Beth cuddled up with Mary, who lies on the mattress facing up, and Ming, who also sleeps face up, with his gun gripped tightly in his right hand. Outside, a highway police cruiser pulls up to a gas pump. Two officers get out. In the RV, Mary stirs. She cautiously looks over at Ming, who breathes deeply, lying very still in his white undershirt. His pistol is still clutched in his hand, resting on his hip. Rolling onto her side and reaching over to the RV's window, Mary carefully pulls aside the curtain to peek outside. One of the officers stands by the cruiser smoking a cigarette. Mary slides the window open a crack. The officer's gaze drifts to the RV about 100 feet away. In the RV, Ming points his pistol at the back of Mary's head.
Who's out there?
Police.
I'm willing to die.
Outside, the other officer rejoins his partner, carrying coffee.
That was fast.
Too black.
Let's roll.
As the cruiser rolls out of the station, Mary slowly closes the curtain.
Do that again, and I will shoot you. I will make you suffer for it as long as possible.
The next morning, Ming drives through rural countryside, eventually pulling into a parking lot. Inside, Ming checks the tension on the cables attached to Mary and Beth.
If you pull this too hard, it will break the gas line. I've rigged it so the camper will blow up.
Mary's face falls as Ming buttons on a light sweater over his shirt and tie.
Where are you going?
The conference I'm attending. I've installed listening devices. If you shout out to anyone, make any noise at all, I will kill as many people as I can, then I'll come back here and kill you both.
Ming opens the RV's door and steps outside, carrying his briefcase. Smiling, Ming walks away. Inside, Mary leans over Beth's ear. Standing up, they both try to pull off the chains tightly secured around their waists. Outside, some teenaged boys compare skateboard tricks in the parking lot. Mary moves to the opposite window.
Mommy, don't!
Shh. I'm just getting some air.
Mary slowly peels away the duct tape securing cloth to the window. Sliding it open, she whispers to the boys outside.
Hey.
A dark-haired boy looks over at her.
My daughter and I were kidnapped. We made up.
You've been what?
We took us. We're tied up.
Okay, yeah. Please, all right, okay.
Get the police.
Good one. Nice. All right.
No. No, please. Please.
Who is that?
Please.
I don't know. Some crazy lady.
Mary slumps back down, sobbing. Beth stares sadly at her. Sometime later, Ming drives the RV homeward. A tearful Irv sits alone at the dining room table. Scattered in front of him are hand-drawn cards and artwork from Beth's friends and schoolmates. A bouquet of flowers lies nearby. At Ming's house, Mary and Beth lie alone in the closet once again.
My cousin is gone. You don't need to stay in the closet anymore. You've been good.
Ming steps into the bedroom, looking at Mary with a self-satisfied smile.
You can have this whole room to yourself. If I can trust you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have another surprise for you. After you showered and cleaned up a bit, I'll tell you.
He leads them to the living room.
All right, come here.
Yeah.
All right, right here.
Do you know what day it is?
I've lost track.
At the Stauffer home, the rotary-style phone rings. Irv picks up the receiver.
Hello, Irv speaking.
Daddy?
Beth? Beth?
Sarah quickly hits record on the answering machine.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Is Mommy okay?
Yes.
Oh,
that's good. That's good. I miss you both.
Daddy?
Yeah?
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
We're fine, Daddy.
I'm so glad.
Ming motions to Beth to hang up.
We can't talk anymore.
When can you come home?
I don't know.
Tell the man that took you that I'd like to speak to him. Now.
He won't. I have to go.
Can you call again?
I don't know. I hope I see you soon.
Me too, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye-bye, sweetie.
Ming hangs up the phone as Beth falls into Mary's arms.
Thank you.
Hanging up his phone, Irv looks up at his sister.
She wished me happy Father's Day.
Irv.
Sarah sits with Irv on the couch, putting her hands on his shoulders.
They're okay.
Later, Ming records another conversation with Mary.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
It's really kind of you to let Beth call her father.
It seemed to make her happy.
She really misses her father and brother.
Do you miss them?
Yes, a lot.
It'll be over soon.
You're gonna let us go?
How would that work? You know I can't let you go now.
What do you plan on doing with us? You promised you wouldn't hurt us. Ming, you have a good heart. I know it's in there. God knows it's in there. Just let God into your heart and he will show you what to do.
I've spoken with the RV company. I could rent the RV for up to a year. I'll go somewhere where no one knows who I am.
And let us go?
Like I said, that really wouldn't work, would it? Well, 4th of July's coming up. We should do something special before all of this is over.
Ming springs to his feet.
Get up.
Taking Mary's arm, they discover Beth in the hallway.
What are you doing?
I have to go to the bathroom.
What are you doing outside the room?
Ming!
He pushes them both into the bedroom, throwing them to the floor.
Door wasn't locked and you didn't tell me!
But she didn't go anywhere, see? See, it shows you can trust us. We just...
Mommy!
See how you can
get
trust
us? Get it!
No, not the closet, please! I can't go in the closet again. Please!
Ming's lip trembles. Moments later, he lashes a steel cable over the bedroom door's top hinge, then secures the chains around Beth and Mary's waists to it. As he leaves the room, Mary pulls Beth into her arms.
President Carter has arrived at...
Later, Mary and Beth sit on the floor, watching the evening news. Entering, Ming brings two plates of food. Ming glances at the TV.
Thank you.
The news doesn't even talk about you anymore. They've forgotten. Remember when we talked about the 4th of July, Mary? How do you normally spend the holiday?
We go to Como Park and watch the fireworks.
You want me to take you to Como Park?
Yes. That would be wonderful.
So you can look for your friends or wave down the police?
You keep saying that you want to do the things that make us happy. If that's true, then
You need to do the stuff that we want to do. Watching the fireworks would make us both happy. It would make us feel like a family.
Yeah, if you're really good for the next week, then I'll consider it.
Alone once again, Mary and Beth reach for their plates. Text, 49 days.
I prayed a lot, asking God to show us the way. And I knew people were praying for us. But I also knew I was the one that had to act on those prayers. Ming intended to kill us in the end. I was sure of that. I knew I was going to have to free us from these chains that kept us here.
Holding her Bible, Mary idly tugs on the restraining cable attached to the door hinge above.
Mommy, what are you doing?
Reading. Go back to bed.
Beth closes her eyes. Suddenly, Ming appears at the door, smiling and holding a sparkler.
Surprise!
Elsewhere, TV news plays in Irv's kitchen.
Officials expect a large crowd with this weather.
Exactly what everyone ordered for this 4th of July. Now, the fireworks are set to go off at sundown, but if you're looking for a good spot to watch, well, you might want to get here soon.
Steven enters.
Are we going to go see the fireworks?
Irv serves Steven a sandwich.
I don't want to go to Como Park without Mommy and Bethy. We'll just watch it from here tonight. Okay?
Steven nods, biting into his sandwich. Later, it's dark as Ming makes his way through crowds, walking along a roadway. After parking, Ming, wearing a baseball cap, turns to Mary and Beth, lying on a blanket in the back.
I'm letting you do this because I trust you. I'll have the gun in my pocket. If you try to alert anyone, I will shoot you, and I will kill as many people as I possibly can before the police can stop me. That's on you. You understand?
We can't be responsible if somebody recognizes us. I might know people here.
You asked to see the fireworks here at your favorite place. If you want us to go home, we will. You're risking the consequences.
I want to see them.
We won't alert anyone.
In the park outside, crowds have gathered to watch the fireworks. Ming leads Mary and Beth through, passing folks standing and holding sparklers. They pause in a clearing, Beth holding Mary's and Ming's hands. Mary's eyes dart left to right, searching the crowd. Nearby, she spots two police officers. She appears poised to shout out. Then, fireworks go off overhead. Folks around them wave flags, smiling and enjoying themselves. A look of immense sadness washes over Mary. Meanwhile, at home, Irv and Steven watch the fireworks sitting in lawn chairs in the front yard. Steven looks skyward, while Irv simply looks downward, seemingly lost in thought. Back at the park, Beth stands with her mum, transfixed by the colorful orbs of light above. Amid it all, Mary stands bolt upright, seemingly frozen in place. Text, 53 days. One of the missing posters for Mary and Beth remains stapled to a power pole, now appearing wrinkled and weathered. Still trapped in their bedroom in Ming's house, Beth watches TV while Mary sits nearby. Meanwhile, at his house, Irv stands in the driveway, watching Steven play street hockey with another boy. Other neighborhood kids also play.
I tried everything to free us. The chains around our waist, the locks, doors. Nothing worked. I began to lose faith.
A shaft of light shines on the bottom hinge of the door.
But God had not given up on me yet.
Mary uses her thumb to push up on the door hinge's retaining pin.
Don't do anything.
Nothing's wrong.
He might be on his way home. Don't do anything again, Mommy.
Mary looks up at the top hinge.
Just want to see something.
Leave it alone. He's gonna get mad.
Pushing on the retainer pin in the upper hinge, Mary pops it out, and the door falls to the floor.
Come on, come on.
They both stare at the door in shock.
We gotta go. Now. Come on.
No, I don't want to.
Honey, we have to get out of here.
Now free, Mary takes Beth's hands.
He's gonna come home. He's gonna find us out of the room and he'll do something bad to you. I don't want to leave.
Honey, we don't have a choice. Do you understand?
Bursting into the hallway, Mary clutches the cable as they head to the kitchen. Once there, Mary picks up the phone.
Ramsey County Sheriff's Department.
Hi, this is Mary Stauffer. My daughter and I are being held at a house at 19 Laley Drive in Roseville.
You're Mary Stauffer?
Yes, please hurry.
Mary, are you able to get out of the house?
I think so, but he might be back at any moment. If there's a white van in the driveway, tell the officers not to come in. There's loaded weapons inside the house.
Help is on the way. Try to get to a neighbor's house or find a place to hide outside, okay?
Okay.
Mary opens the door and they walk out into the bright sunshine.
I can do it.
Walking down a ramp from the front landing, they make their way to the driveway where the RV is parked. About to make a break for it when, backtracking alongside of the RV, they crouch down behind it. Meanwhile, a police car pulls up to Irv's house. A uniformed officer jumps out as Irv and Steven walk outside.
What is it?
Mr. Stauffer, I was supposed to bring you and your son down to the station.
Why?
They didn't tell me. They want you there.
Did they find him?
Come on.
Irv helps Steven into the police car. Meanwhile, back in Ming's driveway, someone walks around the back of the RV.
Is it me?
Gritting her teeth, Mary holds her arms around Beth, then looks up.
Mary! I'm gonna take you home.
Deputy Knowles checks their restraints.
We'll do this later. Let's get you out of here. Can you walk? This way.
Okay.
Other officers appear.
Call it in. We found them.
Sergeant Rayburn arrives in an unmarked car.
No, we got him.
Get them out of here!
Mary, Sergeant Rayburn, Irv and Steve are on their way to the station. We're gonna take you there first, and we'll get you to a hospital. Is that okay?
Please, take us away from here, please.
They're helped into a squad car. Knowles climbs in the driver's seat.
I'm with.
Meanwhile, at his computer repair shop, Ming takes trash out the back door. Suddenly, two police cars pull up, surrounding him. Getting out, officers draw their guns.
Guys! Put your hands in the air! Now! Turn around, hands on your head! On your knees! Get on your knees!
As Ming obeys, a look of seething anger fills his face. In slow motion, the officer handcuffs him and pulls his hands behind his back. Meanwhile, Deputy Knowles and Sergeant Rayburn ride with Mary and Beth in the police car.
Mary, did Ming ever take you out of Minnesota?
He took us to Chicago.
That's just under the jurisdiction of the FBI.
Back at the police station, Irv sits in a chair, tension racking his face. Riding in the back seat of the squad car, Mary holds Beth close. Moments later at the station, Sheriff Becker looks up as Deputy Knowles triumphantly leads Mary and Beth in. Irv springs to his feet. They lock in a warm embrace. Stephen runs to hug his sister.
I miss you too.
Police staff all gather to watch the reunion. Sergeant Rayburn steps forward with a pair of bolt cutters to break their chain and cable restraints. Later,
people ask, Mary, why don't you want to forget? First of all, I don't want to forget the bad things that happened, because until now,
I didn't know true suffering.
Mary addresses her church congregation.
But for 7.5 weeks, it was a horrible time. The Lord blessed Beth with that freedom of spirit that allowed her to live in the moment and make the best of it. And I know that the Lord was with us. We had Irv, we had Stephen, we had all of you. We had faith.
A photo of the real-life Mary and Beth upon their rescue appears. Ming was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. He was also convicted of second-degree murder after the remains of Jason were found. Ming claimed he panicked and didn't mean to harm the boy. Mary and Irv currently live a quiet life in Duluth, Minnesota. Beth is married with a family of her own. Ming Sen Shu was denied parole in the summer of 2016. Quote from Mary Stauffer, God's promise is something we can always depend on, even in the most horrible and seemingly hopeless circumstances. Johnson Production Group, from the true life of Mary Stauffer and the book by Eileen Bridgman Burnett. The Abduction of Mary Stauffer. Mary Stauffer, Allison Hannigan, Ming Sen Shu, Howie Lai, Beth Stauffer, Daphne Hoskins, Irv Stauffer, Daniel Neems, Steve Stauffer, Miles Foley, Sarah, Carly Workington, Sergeant Wyatt Rayburn, Reese Alexander, Deputy Allison Knowles, Rona Reese. Casting by Judy Lee. Production designer, Heather Coots. Director of photography, Mike Cam. Picture editor, Devin Taylor. Music by Kevin Blumenfeld. Supervising producer, Oliver DeCagney. Executive producer, Timothy O. Johnson. Executive producer, Michael Vickerman. Produced by Naveed Sufi. Written by Michael Vickerman. Directed by Jim Donovan. Associate producer, Troy Scott. Production managers, Naveed Sufi, Darren Robinson. Set director, Natalia Pixoto. Property master, Lauren Dominchuk. Makeup artist, Kathleen Falstone. Hairstylist, Keely Anderson. Costume designers, Natasha Thirsk, Yael Amuyel. Production sound mixer, Amelia Sainz-Soler. Post-production supervisor, Leah Myers. Audio post-production, Cinescope Sound. Additional post services, Finale Post. Audio description by Finale Post. Union of BC Performers, Directors Guild of British Columbia. Made with the participation of the Canadian Film or Video Tax Credit and with the participation of the Province of British Columbia Film Incentive BC. Johnson Production Group.